this planning commission meeting for Wednesday, July 20th, 2011. And starting on my immediate left, we will establish a forum.
Lori Fleming, Commissioner.
John Thomas, Commissioner.
Douglas Ward, Commissioner.
Commissioner Linda Maggard.
We have established a forum. We will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And Lord, would you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number four is any added agenda items, and these will be added to the portion on agenda item number 11. But this time I would ask if there's any matters to be added at number 11.
I have one.
Okay.
No.
And you just, do you want to say the purpose of it, or just...
No,
you have
I'll just talk about it.
Okay, other matters, let's say Gloria has one. And then I might add the Oregon Planning Institute Convention. Let's talk about it. And or the League of Oregon Cities. So just let's just put training conferences.
Don't we have that under 9?
Question discussion from new commissioners.
Not really.
Discussion on budget for training and code enforcement.
Oh, wait a minute. We have it.
But is that the conference?
We have it under...
maybe not.
For training and code. Budget for training. There's more kind of budget, but we could. We could move it to 9. That'd be, just put under training for 9. Say, say training conferences. It is training. Okay. Now, we will go to 5. Public comments for items not on the agenda. I think I'll also have public comments for items that are on the agenda right before we adjourn. That's usually the time when we go through the agenda that establishes questions and comments that I like to hear at the end also. At the first, a lot of times there isn't any because we haven't had a meeting yet. And so I might move 5 down to a 12A. If you would, please. Okay, and then number 6, approval of Planning Commission meeting minutes for June 15th.
There was just one thing on page 3.8. It just should have been Chamber of Commerce instead of Chamber of Conference.
Spelling?
Whereabouts on that page?
Under item 8, that says 3651.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little spell check.
Yeah.
But that's all that I saw.
Minutes look very good to me.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did excellent while I was gone and established the fact that you don't need me anymore.
Gloria did great.
That's awesome. So I'd entertain a motion that we accept the minutes with the one spelling check.
I so move that we accept the minutes, and we did miss you, John.
Yes, we did. No,
thanks. I feel so much better. So it's been moved and seconded on a question or any comments?
No.
No?
No.
So they are accepted, and I will sign those right now, Patty. You can
okay.
So, please pass those to Patty. Thank you very much. Number 7, ordinance number 2011-4, an ordinance adopting code section 10.1.0, expiration of approval and declaring an emergency. Has everyone read ordinance number 2011, number 4?
Yes.
Yes.
Not sure. I think I understand it, but I would like a little clarification.
Want a little overview?
On the question, please.
Okay. Some months ago, Rick and I were approached by various developers in Lapine whose subdivisions or residential developments were approaching end of their approvals. They couldn't get extensions. We're in this time period where Lapine wants to take over some of those responsibilities, and we're smack dab in one of the worst recessions we've ever had. Because extending those land use approvals does not harm the public health in any way, and it helps our local business, we felt there was a way to do that. Now, legally, in order to do that, you have to have an ordinance set in place that gives you the power. The intergovernmental agreement has to be changed so that Deschutes County has a handoff to the city for this issue.
Okay.
This is your first step. The council will sign the IGA at their next meeting. So you'll have the local control. When developer X comes in and says, I need an extension, we'll take care of it.
But it's just extensions only at this point.
Extensions on subdivisions, residential subdivisions.
Basically.
Okay.
Three.
Yeah. That's what I understood it to be, but I just want to make sure.
And the issue was coming up with the stuff down by Crescent Creek when that thing where those guys plotted those things. And, you know, there's obviously nothing going on. And the banks, and so they needed those extended for a few years because nothing's going to be developed for a long time, you know. So
just about every city around us has some form of extension.
Deschutes County was going to add 3 years.
Two.
Some have done three. Some you could do five, but that was the thought, though.
Is there any cost to them to do that?
Not much. You guys will probably have a minimal application fee.
We'll need some fee just to cover the review time
right.
and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
The burden's on them to give us everything they submitted to the county so we have a record.
Okay.
So we can look at it. It's not a big deal.
So we don't have a fee yet. It says that the request along the appropriate fee is submitted to the city, so there's no fee.
I think we'll do actual cost of service would be the smartest way to do it to see kind of averaging what time it's taking us. But that would be my recommendation.
So today we're making a recommendation to the city council?
Correct.
Okay.
Because they're putting an ordinance in place and comes to you first on these kinds of land use matters.
Yeah, under the present conditions, it makes perfect sense to me. These developers they did a lot of work on some of these projects. Being kind of in that business myself, I can understand there's a lot of costs involved. And these just need to, it's almost like time just stands still now for about 10 years. It's very unfortunate. But I don't see anything wrong with it. So, any other discussion?
No, I have no problem with it at all.
So, what do you
need a motion? Problem?
I entertain a motion that we make this ordinance a recommendation to the city council.
I would so move.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. If there's no further question, let's make the recommendation.
So we'll hand this off to Rick to put on council.
All those in favor.
All those in favor signify with aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The ayes have it. So ordered. The vote was made.
Now this is going to be taken up at the 27th.
Next week we've got several ordinances. They need to get this done quickly.
Okay.
You don't want it hanging out there too long.
Great. Number 8, discussion on new ordinances, immediate effect and enforcement.
The first part that I wanted to bring up is, and she's not here tonight, but and then I'm sure that they have some other just general issues, but I want to go back to our first meeting we had, which is, they formed a kind of a little group to come in to sign people and with businesses to talk about the sign ordinance because we've got this gap time, so it was kind of to flush out things. So this council, as you well know, adopted the sign ordinance that some of you have worked on, some of you are new, so you didn't actually work on it at all, but anyway, it's typical, you get it written, and once then you can actually put your teeth into it, then you start to notice things. It's fairly human nature that way. If it's a draft, people don't comment as much. So, the first meeting we had was very good, I thought, and it was fairly specific. And her idea was that she had the story in the newspaper. We're going to kind of take sections of the sign code and start working our way through. And that was temporary signs and monument and ground-mounted signs kind of in residential zones, churches, that kind of thing. So, long story short, with the group that met, if you would go, do any of you have your sign code here?
I have one on the computer.
I have it right here. But, the first issue is in multifamily developments, kind of like you say you go into Crescent Creek, you know, it says Crescent Creek subdivision, or if you went into Crosswater, it'll say Crosswater. But the code that you adopted had a 16 square foot size, mm-hmm. and they wanted that to go up to 24 feet. And that was so reasonable, certainly I said, I don't see a big problem. I mean, you're splitting hairs, I don't think anyone. And we went and measured Crescent Creek sign, or they did, and it's about that. So it's a professional, it's only the entrance sign to a big subdivision. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they throw a little light on them, or sometimes they have a waterfall by them, you've seen them bend all over. Simply, your code says 16, they feel 24.
And this is for multifamily or all
residential? That's section one.
All section one, okay.
Yeah, multifamily, one double-faced monument sign, or not more than two single-faced monument signs at each side of a vehicular entrance, but permitted on the primary street frontage. In your code, it says a modesty 16 square feet. Mm-hmm. They'd like that to go to 24.
Okay.
And if it's something you guys can agree to some of those, I thought we could just keep, over the next few months, we could keep track of them, then change them all at once. You know, rather than every meeting changing
them. Right, exactly.
So the second one was churches, and the minister of the Seventh-day Adventist Church came, or Jehovah's Witness, one of those with no windows.
It says Jehovah's Witness.
Okay, well, I'm not reading that, I'm not sure, but Jehovah's Witness. And that's over on Burgess. And they started measuring church signs, and the code that you adopted said, church sign couldn't be above 16 feet. And their argument is that our churches tend to be, lots of them are over there for some reason. Mm-hmm. They're big lots. Mm-hmm. And maybe when people looked at this, you were looking and say in an urban tight area, Bend or Redmond, where you tend to be on city streets, often the church signs could be smaller. And when they went out and looked at all the ones around, they were quite a bit bigger than 16 feet. And they felt that when you're on a 5-acre lot with a big church, a 16-foot sign is really small, you know. So they asked that to go to 32 feet.
Now, is this a wall sign or the ground?
This is it's your code 3.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to code number 3. And where it says 16 feet, they want that to 32. So this would be for churches, school, semi-public facilities, and privately owned community centers, one single or double-faced monument sign, so it's a monument sign, ground-mounted, shall be permitted for each facility. And they simply would like that to go from 16 to 32, and that would mean most of those signs out there are conforming currently, and there's probably only one church that needs one, because they don't have one. Chances in the next 10 years, will you add more churches? Probably not. So again, you learn to pick your battles.
32 is a sheet of ply.
32 is 4x8 if that's what you want it to be, or 3x10.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Jehovah's Witness Church folks here, they thought that was fine, and the sign people that were here all thought that was fine, so that would be a second recommendation. That was all the changes, so I actually felt pretty good. They were pretty comfortable with what you had put together there.
Should we run through Ms. Capp's list of questions of the...
I'm going to do my part and get it done.
Oh, I didn't know we had more.
Well, no, there's more.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in other words, Mrs. Capp has wrote a lot of letters and lots of emails, and there's lots of discussion. I'm trying to keep my stuff to specifics, where you can decide, do you want a sign that's code that you proved at 16 feet, or are you willing to go to 32? Then we can get into the philosophical stuff that will go on for months, because there's going to be more of that. So I'm trying to... Our last meeting, we didn't come up with one specific, mm-hmm. because it was all still just all over the board, and you will never get anywhere if you don't stay specific.
Right.
This one, I think, the one that causes the most controversy is temporary signs, banners.
Oh, okay.
And you know, you guys all fought with that and went back and forth, and you know, that's just a tough one. Remember, we went to the council, they were sitting here talking about one sign or six mm-hmm. signs, mm-hmm. And your code is basically, where's that at? That one sign?
One.
One banner.
One banner, and it's got 3 weeks ahead or something.
30 days, two times a year.
Yeah.
100 square foot max.
So they started, you know, they start trying to kind of play into this thing and make a bunch of changes, and then you start to have problems. And so what we talked about, if you think this could work, and Deborah could tell me if you think it could work, and you could tell me if you think you'll like it, but was to keep all of the wording you put in here, mm-hmm. but just add a paragraph that says, if it's a, I won't word this right, she'll figure that out, but a community-based yes. event mm-hmm. that the city approves mm-hmm. would be exempt from that. In other words, when you have the 4th of July celebration, the rodeo, the Pine Frontier Days, mm-hmm. you'll notice they probably put up six signs. Mm-hmm. They're flat going to do it. And the reality is, nobody is taking them down. So you can have a code all you want. There isn't a city manager or mayor going to take one down. That's a fact. So what you've done is you've created a law that will never be enforced. You need an exemption, kind of. And so what we thought is, you know, you have those three or four big events a year, or five events, that we would just, the city manager would just sign, it's a judgment call. Mm-hmm. But the reason you keep the code in effect, as you've written, the guy over on Huntington who's having two family garage sale thinks it's a community event, and he wants six signs up for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I would not sign that.
Okay.
I would say a garage sale is not a community event, and it's not of the size and proportion that the intent of the Planning Commission. We know what you're talking about. It's those major events, and there's just a few a year. And it is a judgment call, obviously. But otherwise, they want to go through and change this whole thing to where you get to put up five signs, six signs, you know, this, and then pretty soon everybody can do it. So this was my way around that.
Okay.
That's it from our first meeting.
Okay. Oh. Is there a reason why we have a difference between, like, temporary signs, banner mm-hmm. signs, and all? Aren't they all temporary signs?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well,
you want to go to the temporary section?
You know, to me, the sign's either permanent, it's sunk in the ground, concrete, or it's temporary, and it's only up for a month or 6 months or whatever. Mm. I mean, to me, there's only two types of signs. How many types of signs do we have in sign code as far as, like, can we just have one section and talk about temporary signs and have example temporary signs, could be banner signs, real estate signs, whatever.
There's a reason, and it's one that every city fights with, but we're not supposed to regulate signs based on what they say. And so we have different sections that help the city guide what's appropriate in residential zones and what's appropriate in commercial and industrial zones. Typically, commercial industrial zones are going to have larger sign needs, and their temporary signs should be larger than something in a residential zone. So instead of saying for sale signs, a sign selling zucchini, I mean, you know, whatever it is, we have to base it on what the law at the federal level says, which is time, place, and manner. And so we focus on size, where it can be located, and how long. So you'll see temporary signs in residential sign zones. They're smaller than the ones allowed in commercial and industrial sign zones. You have two sections for temporary signs.
And banners, throwaway banners are significantly different than a real estate sign is temporary. Mm-hmm. But you're going to reuse it. I mean, they're wood, they're something. Banners kind of are their own beast.
Yeah, fresh eggs. Especially, I mean, the things that people put up in their yards and residential zones.
The only thing with garage sales and stuff being such big thing here too, I think that's something we have to really be aware too. And I would really like to see some language about enforcing people having to take them down, you know. But
technically,
I mean, the way it is, they could be up there for 30 days, right?
Well, most garage sale signs stay up until they blow away.
And that's not right either.
But those are tough to regulate.
Yeah.
How about just then on the banner signs, have it to where it's, you know, approved by the city, then like Eric was talking about.
I mean, you know, city approved, whatever.
And then that way, we can try that for a while.
Yeah, we can try it for a year to see if it starts to get problems. Then that will make the group pretty happy. They like that, because then they can have as many banners they want for those big events.
I don't see, Bend has a sign code forever. They can't enforce their own code. I don't have a lot of hope that we're going to just have a wonderful code and then hire a code enforcement officer and we're going to just be clean the next day.
Well, have you really had problems with banners? I mean,
Technically followed the code,
yeah.
We had a violation 2 weeks ago. I mean, that's the thing. So we're trying to make sure that and these official organizations like that don't want to violate our code. I mean, the garage sale person doesn't care maybe, but these groups that are sanctioned and certified and official, and they want to they have a code that says I can put up one banner, and they're just saying, look, we're going to put them up at both ends of town, the middle of town, and everywhere else.
But your new language takes care of
that. Yeah, but that's the question before them.
And the community's comfortable with that.
I think that might take care of it. Just have build different language. Okay.
Then we can report back to her that those all their issues you tend to support, but that they need to pull these, and we'll have a hearing at some point.
The Jehovah's Witness, we talked about 32 square foot. The Jehovah's Witness in this letter wanted to sign up to 48 square foot. That's even bigger yet.
But you have a process in the code for dealing with unusual situations, if indeed they are unusual, and that's your exemptions and exceptions section.
Yeah, and just make it to where it comes back to the city for some sort of a variance or
whatever. He seemed to be okay. Of course, he probably went, he doesn't know what they're going to build yet, but the group was okay with 32. Renee and the group. Now, he may want one bigger.
But I think there will always be one that wants
one
bigger because it's competition. It's America. It's great. So, but I think we should probably limit it to 32 square feet and just call it good. That's a 4-bay sheet of plywood. Makes sense.
And that's all I had on my part, and the rest was other discussion with other types of sign issues for the second.
We are different in that other cities in Central Oregon, we're way spread out. I mean, a small lot in Lapine is 1 acre. I used to call them, when I sold real estate, I call them lots, you know, people would say, well, how big is it? And I'd say, well, it's 43,560 square feet. And they'd go, wow, that's an acre. That's a lot in Lapine. So, you know, we're way spread out and everything. Maybe our signs could start out a little bit bigger. I don't know. Does anybody else have any problem with it?
A 32-foot sign is plenty big enough to see from the road.
I built one out there for High Lakes Community Church. It's probably bigger than that, but I did that before there was a sign. So.
Well, and we have some billboards and some other things that are bigger that we, you know, really don't particularly.
And you do have a sign code right now. It's just that Deschutes County runs it, and I have to give many compliments to Rick and Renee Kapp for handling. And organizing some of these comments. I have a letter from Renee that was going to be the basis of conversation on a radio show with the chamber, but the radio station had a malfunction that couldn't occur.
Okay.
It was supposed to occur Tuesday at 7 a.m. And so when I called in, they couldn't make it happen. But I'd like to go over the issues just so you're aware of them, because Renee's captured them in a list. And I suspect when it does come on the radio, you'll want some heads up what this is all about. Is that okay to go over?
And she's got a letter. It looks like she's delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a letter here.
Maybe it's the same issue. You have that letter.
Renee sent me what
June
19th. Sent you.
Yeah.
So I have
okay,
that
great.
Here as well.
And a lot of this is I'll need to hear from people specifically about the entire code. There's a question about it's too difficult to read. And I'm going to need some examples from people what that is. If there's a certain section, there's no problem in fixing it. It can be customized any way we want. But that's one large issue that seems to come up. The first question was, will people be forced to change signs? And if you remember in the sign code, second to the last page, it says an effective date of, it was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be extended at the behest of the council. Mm-hmm. So you guys can extend that. But there has to be some date, some focus to to gear towards. So that compliance schedule is July 1st, 2016, and I wrote Renee back the answer to that question. The second question is, why are there pole signs only allowed on Highway 97? And if you remember when we had this discussion with the Planning Commission, we have kind of two areas of the city, the highway corridor, and then the more sedate, where we want to have our town center, a little more pedestrian area. So if we're going to allow pole signs, the classic place to put them is along the highway because speeds are higher, people need more time to react to signs, and pole signs do a better job at that. So we try to keep pole signs along the highway, but reduce signs and have something that's a little more consistent with the livability standards we talked about with the comp plan. That's why there's a difference. Let's see.
Oh, people are driving slower too. So.
Yeah, and you tend to know where you're going with that kind of town center.
Do you want, should they spend a minute or two on each of those as you go, or else it's going to become a mumbled up? Or
I just want to go over it because when they hear it on the radio, I don't want it to be a surprise.
Well, okay.
And none of these, you know, I haven't seen anything I have to fix yet. And when I come down to the list and there's one that I think should be fixed, that's where we need to talk about it. The third question was, if you face both Highway 97 and Huntington, can you have a sign on both frontages? And the answer is yes. The code allows that on page 32. So don't have to change anything there.
And that was it. Rex asked that, the insurance company.
Next question, most existing reader boards in town are over 50% of the square footage that we've recommended in the code. And my response was, which I think you'll want to talk about, is that I don't see a problem increasing that as long as the Planning Commission takes a look at it first and makes a recommendation to the council. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to get a list of things that need to be changed in the code. You'll have a meeting about it. There'll be a staff report. You'll have to do a recommendation to the council, and we'll change the code.
How would we go about determining how many, you know, how much should be on there?
Well,
I mean, we talked about it, and that's why we came up with that. But if they, you know, if it needs to be increased,
it's in the eye of the beholder. And it's also a practical issue. If you've got 100% of the people in town pretty much at a different square footage, then we should seriously consider changing it because you're going to have numerous people who are going to be peaked, who are already serving a function for the public, and nobody's complained about it so far. So if we have to adjust it to be more consistent with what's already out there, that's fine. I don't see a visual problem with that. It's just a matter of changing the code. Now, you don't want to get crazy, you know, have huge reader boards everywhere, but I don't think I see anything in town.
She's got her picture back there.
Yeah, here's just one. This appears to be over 50%, and this is our community reader board. And ShopSmart is significantly over 50%. And, I mean, just as examples of what that looks like, I mean, this is pleasing to the eye. I don't think it, and it's necessary in our community, and I would think ShopSmart, their grocery stores, need some extra space.
Yeah, those are two great examples.
And you look, you know, now the bank, Home Federal, has one that meets the code. The new shop, Ray's, meets the code. So I started looking at them. Actually, there are several that meet the code. To be honest, it does look better when they're two-thirds and a third. It actually looks better because you've got the business side. But, again, dude, what... They throw out a couple of those examples. I mean, no one's going to go for 5 years. They weren't going to do anything anyway, and probably be extended. No one's going to make smart shop move anything. So the real question to me is, if you get a new business, would you like them to be 50-50, that's your code now? If you made it 75-25, those are all probably fine. Mm-hmm. So you could have 25% name, 75%. But do you want new ones that way? I don't know.
You can have an advisory in the code that the Planning Commission prefers that, you know, or it's recommended that, you know, you do a different proportion, but you can have this. I mean, there's a variety of ways to deal with it. The question is, how big of a fight do you want to pick to get this code adopted?
Yes, you're right. It's really a judgment. It's eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's such a rub over these things. It's the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in favor with making someone change something that's been up for 20 years. But you know, I personally, I don't like pole signs myself. I think they all ought to be ground mounted and lower everything. But because they are there and new businesses want to compete and block out the next guy's sign so that all you see is his sign. I mean, you know, it's...
Well, and as you're driving along, they need to be within the sight that you can see them from a little bit of a distance.
There's a reason.
Well, at 35, if they were to go 35 miles an hour, they'd probably see a lot more signs. But at 65, they just can't see that far.
So what I see happening is issues that require identification of the issue, and like what Rick was doing, what the solution could be. And then you guys choose what you want to do. We'll wrap that up into a recommendation for modification to the code to the council.
Yeah, there isn't very many changes, really, that Renee and Robin and them, you know, basically from the sign community.
But they're still going to have meetings.
Yeah, they're not.
Robin has some more issues that Robin probably wants to raise.
Sure.
Right, the beginning stages.
Yeah, we fleshed out about another half a dozen that really kind of need to be addressed. Just a lot of it has to be with definition. But some questions from the business standpoint.
Okay. And even then, you know, 6 or 8, I mean, that's really nothing. That sign code, like 3/8 of an inch thick. So really, that doesn't seem to be...
Yeah, well, it has to be adjusted so it meets, you know, the community's needs. Can I finish here? Because there's just a few
more.
Yeah. Let's see. She had a question about pole signs referenced in the table and ground-mounted signs were not. When I went to both reference tables, ground-mounted was in both. So when I talk to Renee next, I'll get a little more detail there because I don't see an issue. Then, number 6, this may be a wording issue. Why only one awning per building? Mm-hmm. We don't have that. We have one awning sign for each building frontage. You got a four-sided building, you could have 4 awnings. I think that's extremely generous.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think the thing was, if you look at, there's some businesses that are, it's one side, but they've got 2 or 3 windows, and they've got an awning.
And so they
want an awning on each one.
It's a physical structure.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll
add language to
allow
that.
Multiple tenants that would have multiple entries.
Yeah.
Okay. Business or tenant.
Now that makes sense, because I was thinking it's so clear.
No, it was real simple. It was just more wording.
Yeah. So we'll add multiple tenants, because the effect's no different. Who cares? You know, you need that over
except
the door.
Except for
if
there's no address to the size, then you're going to have multiple huge...
Well, there's a size requirement. It's just that each frontage is allowed an awning.
Right.
So in this case, we'll add some language saying that, and this includes multiple tenants, because buildings do have multiple tenants.
And multiple entrances.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you can put an awning over any entrance you want, and you can put your name on it.
Yeah. And there's there's an economic thing. It's easier to build one awning, and if they line up, that's great, but I don't think multiple entrances is going to be a problem. So I can fix that. Easy, if you like. Here's one that I agonized a little bit over. She had a question about, for wall signs, we regulated on the percentage of the elevation of the building wall. So things are in proportion. Well, if you have a boatyard with a small building, that person doesn't get as big a sign because their building is small. The first thing that jumps to my mind is not changing the code so that a small building can have a huge sign, because we're not going to have that many boatyards. But that's perfect for the exceptions process. Person comes into the planning commission, I have a boatyard, I have a teeny tiny building because I don't need anything more than a phone. Can I have a sign that makes sense here? You'll look at it, make a judgment call. That's perfect for the exceptions process.
Would like a sign on a fence or something like that?
Yeah. You know, or maybe giving him a bigger wall sign instead of 20% of a building, maybe he gets 50 because he's so dinky.
Mark Ruby Power Sports at Wicket Junction is the example that we were looking at. Small building, huge, you know, what, 5-acre lot or whatever that was, and he's got a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be great for an exception process. Yeah. So that,
I'm so glad we put that exception to the
question. It's kind of like magic glue. Here's one that's troubling and that I do have an answer for. Is a mural, like the one on Gordy's truck wash,
you
a
got
sign?
That picture?
Yep,
yeah, you got that, where they paint the whole side of the building.
And
is that a
pink
sign?
One? Is that pink one?
Yeah, there's the donut shop, and then there's Gordy's car wash there. So
what is it about donut
Here's
shops?
A couple. Oh. So are those signs?
What's it like?
Well, they certainly say
something. I didn't bring multiple copies, sorry guys.
That's okay.
Of course they're signs. What else can they possibly be?
Yeah. This looks more like graffiti to me.
Oh.
It really does.
No,
and I cannot see something like that all along Highway 97.
Mm-hmm. And please understand, we're not advocating.
No, I'm just saying what my impression is when I see that.
They're horrible.
I don't see this the same way. I really don't.
What's this one?
This is the artist.
Well, is it the colors you don't like?
It looks like the way
somebody tagged a building from LA.
Right.
Now, this one I would not consider a sign. That's just a mural.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think of it as a mural. I don't think of that as a mural.
No, that's more of a sign.
So currently, to refresh my memory, what do we address painting on the side of the building?
Wall
is
sign.
That? Huh?
It would be a wall sign.
Are those considered wall signs?
Well, it is a wall sign.
That one is a wall sign. This one is more artistic, and I would consider that a mural.
Do we address murals or no? It doesn't even address.
If you go through Vail, they have awesome murals.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have up in Van, too. The motorcycle.
They're wonderful.
They're historical.
Yeah.
And the Wylands and all that. I mean, I would hate to see us exclude those.
And you didn't exclude a mural.
No.
So since they've got opening hours and specials, that's more of that's a sign.
Yeah. I don't want to get into murals because it take pages and pages to describe what you're going to end up looking at and making a two-second decision on whether it's a mural.
Well, is the city able to approve murals before they're painted?
I think you're neutral on murals, but you regulate wall signs. And if somebody says, my wall sign that says donuts 5 cents a dozen is a mural, you're going to be legally safe to say, sorry, it's not. When somebody
Is there some kind of criteria definition that we could...
Could you put something that says if it's advertised the name of the business?
I can't.
Hours, specials.
I violate the federal law of them.
Well, somehow you must be able to...
Let me do a little research. Portland got into this issue big time. Giant lawsuit over the Ron Tonkin one. You come into town.
He painted one on a building or something.
With the cars and the angels, and then there's the one of the big whale downtown, too.
Well, personally, my own opinion, I mean, this is like black and white.
Yeah.
You know, I don't...
Your gut judgment is correct on these. It takes 2 seconds. Let me see if I can find some language that helps. But it's an artsy thing, you know.
Yeah, it's one person's art is somebody else's.
Yeah. Right. I'll get you some language to consider. And I'll look at that one case to make sure we don't trap ourselves.
I understand their problem, you know. I mean, they do want to attract attention because they're kind of stuck over there.
The Ron Tonkin one doesn't bother me at all. So what? You know, I mean, it's in your visual field for a very short amount of time. But something that says in giant letters, you know, dozen donuts, 3 cents, or whatever it is, you know that's not a mural. Okay. Moving on, so we keep zippy. I didn't quite understand her question. She said, for residential businesses, we need to allow tasteful small signs, zoning, not part of sign ordinance. The only place I can regulate a sign is through the sign code, but we do have a lot of small signs that are exempt.
Well, they made the statement that you can't have signs in, like home occupations can't have signs in the residential area. You said they can.
They can. At one time during our process to build the code, we just put the home occupations in the commercial uses in the residential code, which gives them much more sign area.
So maybe
than
we
they
need
ever
to
need.
Tell people where it is in the code so people can find it in there.
Well, I'm going to put a parenthesis that says includes home occupations.
Okay.
Yeah, because we...
Yeah, that was, it was home, what I got the impression, yeah. So you're running a bookkeeping service at home, you want to put your little board up, your whatever, and it wasn't that.
Yeah, or the little guy like on, this is the tiny little sign that's Burgess. On Burgess for the small little home welding, not the great big guys, but the little one.
Yeah.
And we want to help those businesses without damaging the look of the neighborhood.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
So it sounds like you think it's in here, they just can't find it.
Well, we called it commercial uses and residential zones.
That may not be residential.
And we can put in parentheses, includes home occupation.
He's in the yellow up there.
So, but the question was residential.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So it sounds like we need to just make it...
Clarify it.
Yeah.
And then really...
He spelled welding wrong on his side.
What? How do you spell welding wrong?
Spelled it different on each side.
And Renee's last comment was about how to keep this revision gap period positive. And I think we can because we're going to be responsive. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through the process in a public fashion. And you'll review each request and we'll have answers and we'll make changes. There's no better way to customize a sign code.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all she had for me. And then if the radio interview call-in thing with the chamber occurs, you're going to be prepped because you know the kinds of issues that were likely to come up. So we'll keep a list of those,
okay,
so that you know that we haven't forgotten them as time goes on. Now, can we keep these in the record, Patty?
Well, she may want those back. I don't know.
No, that's fine because I've got other copies and
let's
there
keep
was some other things that need to be brought up this time, but there were some other things that we identified.
Yeah, and so you would like to, maybe John, if you guys want to, you know, while you're talking about these, so she could. Mm-hmm. We had another meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of those, some have been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
it you could tell is misinformation or not understanding. Cause you know,
but it needs to be clarified.
It needs to be clarified, and there could be some others. Because that was a little more of a testy meeting, and you know, there were people that proposed just abandoning the sign ordinance, and so, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater.
And that was not the sign companies that were...
No, that's
yeah,
true.
Just be clear.
But I think it settled down as the meeting went. But,
you know,
and I think they'll be okay. You answered lots of their questions already.
Yeah. And if there's more, we'll deal with those too. Did you want to do that now? Or?
Well, while she's here, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Let me make a comment real quick. The most important, to me, the most important thing about the sign code is number one, it's uniform. And number two, it's got exceptions. Because one banner sign for Frontier Days is just ridiculous. But the signs that we have, particularly in 97, that look like somebody just painted them in their backyard and hung them upside down, those really need to be addressed.
Okay.
Because they look terrible. You've got a sign, a temporary sign, stuck in the grass
mm-hmm.
on 3rd and Huntington.
We do.
Your sign is very appropriate. I don't know if it's legal or not, but it's very appropriate. It's clean, it's neat, it's orderly, it says what you want to say. But right across the street, there's another sign that looks like it's going to fall over in the next 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. So there has to be, you know, either across the street sign has to go, or they both have to go, something.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Is it a materials issue or a quality issue?
You know, some of these are, yeah, right across the street's one that's on pegboard that's
handwritten,
that's about bold.
It's been painted about 6 different colors.
Yeah, it's got paper stapled on it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, so we want a clean town. Well, those are the kind of things that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one of the things that came up, John, I think it explained to me, you guys, was that the 5 years...
Mm-hmm.
You know, which gives them time, and you probably send it. Their question or comment was that if your sign was never approved by the county, that you're out of compliance and you don't have the 5-year grace period. So, a lot of they said that, you know, because in other words, some people never did go to the county for their sign.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they said they were concerned that other people, one guy gets 5 years, the guy next door, maybe, who knows, he bought the building, the sign was there, he never, it's not a permitted sign. So if they come in to permit it, they don't get the 5-year grace period.
Well, if they meet the sign code, whatever it ends up being, what we should do is probably add an amnesty clause that if you meet this sign code, we're not going to penalize you for not getting one from the county. We're starting fresh.
Right.
And I think that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah. No, right. Second, you said if they meet the sign code. This would be something that doesn't meet the sign code, but it's still an existing sign.
We'll classify it non-conforming.
A non-conforming?
Do they get,
we'll call it non-conforming.
Is there a difference between the grace period with a non-conforming and a conforming sign?
No.
It's the same,
grace
right?
period applies to both.
Okay.
But they would have to bring it to the attention of the city.
Yeah,
and
they'll have to make
labor.
It.
So okay. you're saying is, so I don't have a county permit on my sign.
Right.
And it's bigger than we allow.
Mm-hmm.
They come in, we accept it as there. Does that mean they're good forever? They're good for 5 years?
5 years.
And then they have 5 years to come into compliance.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I just make a quick comment on that? One of my concerns is, and this is for the beauty of the town, is that you have some people that are going, wow, if there's a way to grandfather right now during this gap time, I'm going to go and I'm going to slam whatever I can slam
right.
up there and get an amnesty or a grandfather clause. And I'm concerned about that happening. I'm also concerned, you know, that there may be a sign shop kind of helping that along, and that's not appropriate,
right.
and that's
right.
not what we want to see. So,
we were concerned about that too.
How many how many signs do you think we have that don't have county approval?
Probably 50%. I don't know.
Yeah, at least half of them.
You know, we have a sign code right now.
Sure.
We don't have, you know, we don't have a way to enforce it. But we do have a sign code right now. We are changing that as we speak.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, as everyone understands that there's this grace period that we're changing, I see them doing the same thing Robin's talking about during this grace period. I still see, you know, We have no enforcement now, and so I think that people will probably use the next year or two to put up signs and try to get in under the wire. I mean, it's just because, you know, there has been no start date yet.
No, because you're in the gap period before you're fully functioning.
And we're changing it as we go. So, I mean,
are people going to spend money to violate the code when they spend money to do it right?
I think that you may get some of that, but I think that's not probably that big a problem. It'd be more that who knows what signs haven't been permitted, and I don't know. That just came up. Maybe you don't do anything with that for now and wait and see if it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Leave it as it is.
It's bad business for another, not you, but for a sign company to say, oh, I'm going to drum up business by giving them a nefarious way to have more signs.
Most of the signs I'd like to see some that actually aren't. I'd like someone to tell me this sign is not a, I can guess some, but you don't want those to be graced. Those are the plywood signs that are, is there an actual legitimate sign out there? It's really truly a lit, legitimate sign that didn't get a county permit. You know, who are they as an example? We won't know until you knock on their door.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's such a sensitive issue. It unless there's a huge community health and safety need to go to that extent, I would leave it alone.
Right, and it's just, it's on a case-by-case basis. If you don't identify each individual sign, and that business person doesn't come into these meetings, doesn't say anything, then what are you going to do with it? I mean, you're going to spend time and money to try to go out here and enforce. I say just leave it alone until it becomes a problem. We can make some common sense changes, come up with it, and then just end it for now. Revisit it in the next year or two. But we need to get beyond this. We've spent years to develop a sign ordinance. Now we're spending more months to change it. That's fine. Let's get it done as quickly as possible. But hopefully sometime in the future we'll have other things.
And get business owner support so that when we do say it's time to clean up the city, they have had an interest in making it happen.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, let's do these changes we talked about. Was that all that you had?
I don't know.
there was a couple other things that we wanted to address. The understanding of a pole sign,
mm-hmm.
and as pole signs were only going to be allowed on Highway 97, mm-hmm. almost every, by the definition that's in here, which is under 14, it shows this as a picture definition, almost every sign in town would be in violation. If you look at the sign at Little D Technology, and if you look at the library sign, if you look at the sign next to Bi-Mart, where Mountain View Designs and the Farmers Insurance, I mean, almost every sign in this city is a pole sign. So.
And that's a clarification problem, because if you look at the code closely, ground-mounted signs that are on legs are only allowed to a certain height.
Mm-hmm.
Pole signs, that what we think of a pole sign, mm-hmm. has a separate definition.
You can see through the bottom of it.
Well, and it's taller. Yeah. So well, I can make that more clear.
Yeah, and that was more what we wanted was clarification. When you look at this as a pole sign and it, mm-hmm. says definition of pole sign,
mm-hmm.
it leads you to believe that everything that's on legs is going to be non-compliant.
You need to work on the definition, because the sign lady read that differently.
Yeah.
Because Renee disagrees with Robin.
Right.
On the definition, and they were side by side. So it's obvious that we need to work the wording.
Yeah, and it was also the graphic. I mean, the graphic under pole sign is not clear enough about the two differences.
Okay.
And that was really a simple one.
Sure.
The other thing was, and this was something that Renee and I talked about, we've been working jointly with a real friendly atmosphere, was, you know, Gordy's building where U.S. Cellular and Radio Shack is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you've got these poor businesses down here, like Studio Sabai is back, mm-hmm. here. You know, how do we, as a community, help these businesses be successful in a way that Studio Sabai can get some kind of advertising, mm-hmm. on the front of that building, or somebody knows? And this is almost an unanswerable question. I mean, but we want to be able to help our businesses be successful. This building was one laid out very
clearly. Now, I'm assuming under the code, each person, mm-hmm. would be able to have that big long front, the Chinese jury. Can't you put that, like, that's mounted up, above each business they can do?
Problem is those are so far back you can't see them. Yeah.
But there is a provision for this large mall sign.
Here's the mall sign.
She's still too far down.
See, Gordy's won't.
Can't you use a
Gordy won't spend the money, but someone needs to spend the money to make a nice sign, hmm. that has all mm-hmm. the number of slots.
Yes, but
similar to the giant one at Aspen Alley.
We got a sign there.
They do have a sign with all
the slots. Locations there, and only room for 8 signs.
I see. There's a rough spot.
My question on that would be, when you have an owner of multiple properties like that, who is responsible for, I mean, do we go after the owner of the properties for the signs?
Mm-hmm. Well, to make the sign, and then each individual person has to make their own little sign like that. See?
That's a tough one, because
the whole big sign has to be the property.
I mean, if you think of it, I've got strip malls that I own, and you see them all over. You know, you go to a mall, and that's what that is. It's a strip mall.
Right.
Usually, they'll decide, mm-hmm. it is up to the owner. When he does his building, he decides if he will decide, am I going to have 16 little signs most of the time? If you think about it, when you go to a mall, the Macy's has a sign out front. Mm-hmm. The anchor tenants get a sign.
Right.
The little guys, you do not know what's in the middle of that mall based on the sign out on the road. Mm-hmm. That's a decision you make when you choose to rent from that owner.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you get it above your building.
Excellent.
And, you know, I have a 3-story building in Madras, and only some tenants get their sign on the building. Some do not. It's based on the size and the location.
Mm-hmm.
It's a management decision, but I still have to meet the sign code as the building owner.
Right.
And I think I looked at that Radio Shack. That Radio Shack is on the end.
Yeah.
He's got 3 mm-hmm. signs on the end of the building, 2 on the front, plus he's on the monument sign.
Right.
But he's on the end.
He used to be in the back and didn't get any business.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do think, personally, I don't think that this sign, it's already so far back, and you're going at an angle. I mean, you should have it on the other side. Because now what you're getting now is you're getting sandwich signs and everything else.
Right, because those poor businesses back there are frantic to try to survive, and nobody knows they're back there.
Right.
Gordy would have to buy a new monument sign that addresses those customers.
Well, there's actually two separate buildings, and each building needs its own monument sign.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we had talked about, you know, possibly doing, you know, the hanging blade signs would be somewhat of a help. On the walkway, which would be somewhat of a help, but still wouldn't solve the problem for them. And kind of going along with that, in just helping businesses be successful, but keep some kind of aesthetics. I mean, we don't want to see Lapine looking like Lapine looks right now.
Yeah.
But just as an example, this is the American Legion, and we all know where the Legion is, and it's kind of off there in the Tuileries. And you can't, I mean, you don't even know that American Legion is back there. This is the American Legion. And this is the intersection. You know, they have to have some kind of sign to kind of direct somebody.
It's just a tiny little sign.
Mm-hmm. But that's an off-the-premises sign, which, if I understood right, would be too far away to be within the code.
Not really, because in being content-neutral, which we want to meet that federal law and keep everybody out of trouble, is I don't care what the sign says. So if the American Legion can go to the guy on the corner and say, you're allowed your 16 square feet, I'd like to use it. We can do that.
Okay.
Because we don't care what it says. So we just want to make sure each property is within their sign maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his solution.
Is there nowhere in the code, though, that says you can't go off your property and put a sign that directs people to another business that's a block off?
How could I possibly meet content neutral
without... Well, I'm asking you that.
No, it does not say you can't have an off-premise sign.
Because that was our concern. Because then you get into the billboard issue, because this is off the premise.
Right now.
And is this a billboard or is this a sign?
When it's on
97. Right, for the direction for
my
market.
Advertising.
Yeah.
Terms off premise are not in our code.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
What's this? Oh, that's that is the oddball.
That's the oddball,
yeah.
This is the biggest eyesore. Well,
yeah, absolutely.
No, I was going to call it the second biggest eyesore.
Yeah.
Maybe the third, but it's probably for at least second. And it's an eyesore because when Mr. Varnick built this thing, he didn't do the signs right.
Mm-hmm.
He should have had one sign on each strip.
Okay.
So you're right. The people in the back are...
They
rented their building knowing what was going on.
Yeah.
As a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and as a business person, and as Gordy's the same, what would it take to convince him to fix it? To put up two brand new signs, maybe not at all his expense, maybe, I don't know, we have a beautification thing in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Can't the Chamber of Commerce get involved in this and help out or make a few suggestions? Hey, can't we work something out?
Gordy isn't real amicable to doing much of anything.
You
talking to anybody.
You know him as well as I do. Yeah.
I mean,
if he doesn't have to spend a nickel to put it in his pocket.
Yeah. And
do you know that in this strip mall, in the walkways, there are light bulbs, and every single one of them on both sides burn out, and if you go over there to the Chinese restaurant after dark, you can't see it.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yes.
Unfortunately...
I was just going to say that these codes are exactly what's going to help some of that stuff, you know?
It's just, from my point of view, because I work as a business advisor for the college periodically, and what happens is new businesses... The ones that are just starting out and that don't know about location, and they go in and look at the turnover rate that has been in that, and a lot of it has to do with there's no way for them to get any drive business to their door because there's not
enough. That's only 50% true. Half of those businesses back there in the corner shouldn't have been there to begin with.
Well, or they're local. I mean, they're for local people, and everybody knows where they are. You know, that's true. There's not a whole lot of travel businesses there.
No.
And, you know, we brought that out more as an example of what can we do to try to help that kind of situation.
Well, we can do community education by we prefer this, we don't prefer that, and change the name so nobody's embarrassed. and we can rewrite this sign and say, this is not what we want to have happen, and show an alternative, and have that in our handouts and public education mm-hmm. materials. But we need that. We need the chamber's support on these things, too. And so, you know, they need to be able to hand out the city stuff and...
And the chamber is hugely supportive of cleaning up our, you know, cleaning up how things look. I mean, it behooves all of us. It's good for business. It brings tourism. If we're trying to fill our industrial park and our a business park, right. the people that are going to move in here need to be looking at a city that they go, wow, I really want to live here, when they drive down 97, not, this is crap.
And some of this is just what all cities have, and they phase through it, and hopefully as time goes on, it gets resolved.
Well, the biggest problem is that it's our corridor, and that's mm-hmm. what everybody sees. Yeah. So
that's a toughie.
And there are some signs that are there right now that will be totally out of compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's one sign, but there's others mm-hmm. that are there because of that situation.
Yeah, the jumbo will go away because it'll be out of compliance.
What does a sign like that cost?
Yeah, one of those monument signs?
Yeah, was it?
Thousands, tens of thousands. We don't do that particular kind of sign, but what, probably 15,000?
A sign like that's a bunch. I mean, he had, you know, you can shrink everyone's little space. You can get them all on there if you give them all a little, just a little spot. But
some communities, if I was this property owner and I knew the shape of the building, I would really be focusing on a dynamic sign that identified the plaza. Yeah. This is Joe's Happy Face Plaza, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and
well,
then
you don't know Gordy very good.
No. I don't need to, but that's the solution here, instead of trying to give everybody a
niche. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now get them to work in.
Are these for us too?
You can have them if you want. They're duplicates. Renee and I just ran around town. We spent the afternoon together, and
it sure would be helpful.
These ladies have done a great job with it. Really, it's been helpful, and it's kind of what you would have loved to have had before you adopted it, but it was hard to get people
actually
motivated.
We did have some of the same pictures when we mm-hmm. talked about stuff.
And we had a couple people who sat with us a couple nights in a row getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm. These are just shots of general shots and some comments.
Sure.
And stuff.
Sure. Your basic ground rent sign.
There's the library reader board issue with the 50% versus something more than.
Now, do they do these signs themselves, or they're hiring somebody to do this?
The kids come over in high school.
Okay. Can I see that from that?
Sure.
Now, you could exempt community-based reader boards.
Do you have an objection to the public library sign?
No. What the comment was the reader board issue.
Yes.
Is right at the 50% or a little bit less or a little bit more than 50% on the reader board.
Yeah.
It was more of an example of what, you know, what 50% looked like,
mm-hmm.
and you know that one would be marginal whether it was in compliance or not.
Mm-hmm. You know, a big part of this I see is going to be in the education.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't educate people, they're going to drive through this town and that new business and going to go, well, I want the same that he does. We have to continue the education so that people understand that certain signs are going to be grandfathered in. Now we have this new sign code, and any new business must adhere to the new sign code and all. A lot of it will be accomplished through education.
Okay, question for Mr. Rowland. Let's say tomorrow somebody walks into City Hall and says, I want to permit to build a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing that? Is the county still doing that permit basis?
Yes.
Or are we doing
the county.
When does the city take that over? Actually.
Probably after the first of the year or something like that.
Yeah, at the end of the gap.
Well, I would tell them. I mean, you know, I would say, again, see, real businesses that are coming in new, they want to meet your code. Because I was telling them before the day that wanted to throw everything out. You actually go look, like an example, Rex's, that mall, it's got the ground mount line sign you like, looks great. Ray's is fine. The motel's fine. McDonald's is fine. Taco Bell's fine. Any of the new businesses that will be coming here are going to meet your code. Our problem is the 50, 40-year-old stuff with little rentals where people have thrown up plywood signs and done all these things. We all pick up 90% of the same major issues, and I try to explain to the group, that's where you're going to start.
Yeah,
we're not going to run around worrying about the library 10% over. And they're just simply reading it and then raising the issue. But
a soggy fiberboard sign that's going to fall over on a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Got to deal with it.
So.
Okay, is that it?
For so far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going good, though.
Thanks.
So,
thanks, guys, for
let's recap a little bit. We're gonna change some wording.
Okay.
We're going to come back at a future meeting.
With a list.
We're gonna finalize that recommendation to the council.
You're probably, John, about 3 months, because they still have a couple more meetings we're going to have on just different parts of the code, so it'll be a few months.
And you haven't heard my recommendation to take August off either, so.
Okay.
Anyway. But I mean, that's going to be our procedure. Okay. All right, then. That was 8. We're on to 9. Discussion on budget for training and code enforcement. This is the new year, our new budget year. So as a planning commission, we need to start looking at our training. We have a couple of new members, and those of us old people need to be trained also. So, Deborah.
Just like in any business, just like the council, new budget year, new funds, I think you should look at your goals for the Planning Commission to look at a broad, sweeping approach to what you think you're weak on in terms of experience or specific areas that are issues for the public right now, and kind of gear your limited dollars. Mm-hmm. You only have $4,000 for the year to things that are going to bring back benefit to the community. So OPI is a good one because it's local issues. It'll let you know about the latest in Oregon law. And you're going to have other planning commissioners there to bounce ideas off of.
It's a bunch of sessions.
Yeah.
September 14th to the 16th.
Yeah. And then you've got a free training one, John, that you mentioned earlier in Bend.
Well, I don't know. It was with the annual conference. I think you'd have had to apply to the conference in order to go to the planning commissioner's workshop on Thursday. I think you probably have to be an attendee at the conference.
Some of them have a one-day deal.
Okay, so you should look at that and see if there's something that would benefit you as broadly as we are working now. The books that we just ordered, I believe we have the role of the planning commissioner in there, and that is the most important book you could ever read. Mm-hmm. If you read that and learned that, there wasn't anything else you need.
So everybody does know in this commission that we do have a library now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I encourage everybody to... Do we have a checkout system for the library?
Mm-hmm.
We do.
And we're in a new building. We'll actually have a little cubicle leg. We'll set that up as a bookshelf.
Nice.
So you can just go up and look at it and
Find
out for yourself.
Okay, so we're really kind of rolling with that.
You have your computer set up.
And then...
And you have your... It'll be a City Hall projector, but you've got that, so we can do PowerPoints.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot better. This particular, the annual conference in Bend here, there's an early bird deadline of July 31st. It's $265. I would encourage one of the planning commissioners from Lapine that has never been to a League of Oregon Cities to attend that.
Again, the majority of that is city council stuff, from cops to roads. So, it's an expensive conference if you're only going to go to the one or two sessions on planning. If you're going to go and take in, it's educational
for
broad things. And that if you're interested in all of that, it's educational, it's fine. I mean, remember, as far as hours, if there's just a few planning, because it's soup to nuts.
Renee and Linda, I believe, are the only ones that have not been to this. So it'd be Linda, if anybody, or Renee.
It's also just a week after the Eugene one, so you have to decide how much time you can give.
Yeah.
Because Eugene was a week before John.
This September 14th through the 16th is specifically Oregon Planning Institute.
What days are those? September 14th to the 16th?
September 14th through 16th, more like that.
Wednesday. Wednesday.
So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In Eugene, then this one starts on, the league is, what days, John?
This one is September 29th.
Okay, it's about a week.
Yeah,
a week and a half later.
OPI is going to be your best bang for the buck. League of Oregon Cities has a library too online. So anything that they have in their training, you're going to be able to find through their website.
And throughout the year, League of Oregon Cities, I would recommend that everybody keep an eye on this, because there's planning specific conferences throughout the year. I think it's Section 6 or whatever it is. Yeah, and that I would recommend that you folks attend. But as far as like recommended for all of us, it might be this one, September 14th to the 16th. So let's keep an eye on.
Well, that's going to be, if the other one's registering early bird July 31st, and
right,
a week later, this is July 19th. So I think you need to decide, those of you who are going to go to Eugene in the next week or two need to be telling us, because so we can get you the motels if you're staying.
That was my point, is this needs to be handled quickly.
Now,
I will not be going, so.
I would like to say that I will go to this. How about you?
I am very apprehensive about spending our tax dollars on something that I've been involved with in the past already.
Well,
I mean, a lot of this
is planning.
I know, but I've had that. I had my own business. I had those conferences, you know, before I came to Lapine. It's the same stuff. It's repetitious to me. If you want me to go, I'll go. But if
I'm apprehensive about spending the money,
I would not recommend you go with that attitude. You would not.
Okay, you're all done.
I'm out. Yeah, I'll be out at the end of the year, so.
Okay.
And I've done legal work.
Talk to Renee, and then let's call that good for now.
Okay.
I mean, I've done this before.
John, you're going to try to go if you can.
I'm going to try to go to that. Yeah.
Just let us know when you decide.
Yeah. Yeah, barring any emergency, that I will go to that. Although it's right in the middle of bow season, but I should have mine down before that.
Yeah, but we can't shoot at the sewer treatment plant.
No, we cannot.
It's the best spot in town, too.
Bad.
Priorities.
That's right.
Okay, so on training, the idea is for us all to continue to train and have a good attitude toward training, read our books and find out, you know, there might be some new things we could learn. As far as code enforcement, there is a budget for, is it next year for code enforcement? There's only like $10,000 or whatever.
Can we contract? Well, we just contract. When you get a complaint, we might come up with something that would go out and do the paperwork on it and, you know, send out the first letter. And that.
So you see our first code enforcement officer as being some sort of combination, you know, contracted or temporary employee or whatever.
It would be contract to somebody. We don't have...
So it'd be contract, not city employee.
Oh, I doubt it. I mean, you know, just an example, I mean, Jefferson County, a whole county with 25,000 people has a half-time code person.
Right. And Deschutes County has one.
Yeah, and the city of Madras has none. They use the county. So we're talking a town of 1,600. So,
right,
you know, you just go out, and actually I do them. What you're going to find is, you know, I've cleaned out a lot of properties. So what will happen is the city manager will go out and clean up the ones. But where you have a code person is when they say, off my property, go to hell, I'm doing nothing.
Right.
That's the you have to have more of a law enforcement type official.
Well, a lot of small cities also, you know, there'll be the chief of police is he reads meters, he does code enforcement. I mean, he... You know, you're talking about a 10 square mile city. One person could potentially do all of those duties if they just would leave the building and get off the desk there and go do these things. That person could do all these things. You know, in construction, you know, we virtually just block the sunlight out in a day's time with building things. And I don't understand why some cities, why the people can't combine some of their efforts and do some more duties to get these things done. It's very possible. I liked the conversation with the I think it was the sewer people that said, you know, hey, they could remove snow and such like it. See, this is a common sense approach that this small city needs to take, is to get all of our equipment moving, you know, 5 days a week and get this stuff done. It's just a matter of someone really enforcing it and making it happen. It just needs to happen.
And that's why we put it, this is the first time we put any money in the budget for it. This will not happen until sometime after the first year. It could be in April or May before you have it. So we'll only have 3 months of this year's budget. Then you'll be in the next year's budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, you look back a year from now, you'll be doing some code enforcement. And mm-hmm. But it's still going to be 80-90% education.
Yes.
Talking to people. And the city manager will probably do lots of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it needs to happen. And you know, one of the things I continually hear is that, what is the city doing? We have a lot of meetings and we have and we're establishing a lot of things. But really, when they talk about what is the city doing, what they're looking at is snow plowing. What they're looking at is concrete getting poured, asphalt getting fixed. These are tangible things that people can see the city. Cities need to get that one pickup truck with a logo on the side just to see this guy drive around to see he's doing something. You know, we've been a city now for how many years?
Five, six,
something. Mm-hmm. And people still are asking the question, what's the city doing? I mean,
and I see, I'm not getting that. No,
I do, because I talk to people who are in construction, for instance, that can see tangible things, and they know how easy it is to repave, you know, a little portion of roads. So.
John, are you talking about getting the message out to the community of the bucket load of things that you guys have already done? Because sometimes that maybe is a council responsibility.
That I tried to tell them. Look, we're setting a lot of ground.
You're moving
down
quick.
Yeah.
I mean, as a community,
yes.
I think you've really moved quick.
When you compare to others, you know, and a lot of people don't realize
with the infrastructure you have, you're pushed to the limit, and you've really done a lot.
You know, we have a new city hall now and everything, but. I think you know, we're on the right track. We just need to.
I mean, I think people, John, have to realize that you have $1.80 tax,
mm-hmm.
and
which is one of the lowest.
Well, it's probably the lowest. And with that means that the law enforcement is in fact provided by the county. So there'll never be a City of Lapine logo on a police car. We have chosen, and other than now, once we get Public Works with the Sewer and Water Department, we'll have some options, but that's a year away. We fought that fight, moved that on, now we're going to get that handled. But we have, today I signed a contract with a person to work on Kegler Road, a private company. You're going to see Vic Russell logos doing work being paid by the city. Now, most people say, I'd rather have private industry doing the work. We're not going to see a City of Lapine truck with a City of Lapine logo. You're going to see a Vic Russell
truck.
When we snowplow, you're going to see Mr. Shields' trucks. And I'm now working on signs out in Kegel subdivisions, probably $10,000 worth of street signs, speed signs, stop signs, all of that. But you know what? Mm-hmm. There will not be a City of Lapine truck along the road with a flashing light.
Right.
But we will be putting money into local paychecks of local companies.
Yeah.
So,
that's,
you know, that's what most people want.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have a public meeting and you get five people. Four of the same ones are the relatives of the people that are sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
They bring their wives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So
training, I mean, the education, everything. I think
we have a newsletter. We just
that newsletter out is
huge. That's
huge.
Yeah. That's very good.
And we have
the newsletter. Huge.
So we'll just keep at it. But the city of LaPlante will not provide a lot of direct services.
Well,
we just doubled our
for the near future. Right?
But the near future for a long time, really, because we're still only 1,600 people.
Right.
And we doubled our mosquito thing, another $5,000, and we are a city that levies $1.80.
Yeah.
So.
And it's because that was a big issue with the people here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people here cannot afford more than that. And we basically promised that that would be it.
So I think you're going to get those comments. And I think actually if I went to Ben and I went to some, I knocked on some door, some kind of house, I'll bet you half of them would say, a city that had nothing for me. Mm-hmm. And in there, it's fire, police, and everything. And they still say, they don't do anything for me.
Right.
That's a kind of a human response.
Well, that's what I continue to tell them, you know, things that we do and just continue to advertise it throughout the news.
And we'll do more, mm-hmm. like you said.
Now, are you saying that this code enforcement officer thing isn't going to start till next year?
Well, we can't enforce these codes.
After the first year.
So you want to have your codes in place with the city taking full jurisdiction. And that's not going to happen for a while.
Right.
That's the first of the year, right?
Well, somewhere in there, because we have some things hanging out there.
It has to be sometime.
Yeah. We're hoping it could be July, but it's somewhere between January and July, probably more in the middle. I mean, the council wants it sooner. But it's as basic as, you know, if we take on codes, which we're saying is we're taking on the whole thing. If someone walked in today, I don't have, which we can go work on, but I don't have a form for you to fill out for a building permit. But then I got a key into a computer program. Well, I can't go over to Mary's QuickBooks.
Yeah.
I can't, I'm not going to sit at my Excel Word program. You're going to have a software program that files, stores, and takes care of permits because we have to have people look at. Then we have to have a routing system. I met today for an hour, Patty can tell you, but the state fire marshal was here. Talking about fire issues. Well, he wants to know, are we going to route them to him, you know, so they can review
fire
stuff. But all of that takes planning and how are we going to do it. So our systems aren't ready to do that. And I think you also need a full-time city manager in the building that can answer those questions every day. Because if you're only here 2 days a week, that won't work. Because then Monday, Thursday, and Friday, someone walks through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Patty's going to have to say, well, here's the book, or here's the thing, you know. So you really need someone.
Get a city hall, and like I said, the full time.
Yeah.
Staff and everything. That it won't happen.
And we're working on the software system that will do utilities and everything. I mean, I've worked on that the last few days, and we'll have that sometime in the next few months. But in that, you can get a module for planning and building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the county will still do building inspections. Always. So, you know, it'll still get routed to the county, but the planning side, the permit will start here. Then we route it to someone like Deborah as a contract planner. And some of the little things the city manager would probably, depending on the skill level of that manager and what
Your internal processes are, once you have somebody in the office to say, how am I going to handle enforcing this code?
It needs to be a full time.
And you have to have that body here. And there's good news. I mean, really, the comments on this sign code are minimal.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just clarification and being flexible where it's no big deal. The other codes haven't had any complaints or appeals.
Because no one's used one yet.
Well, that's probably true, too. But, you know, that's still progress.
It's going to be the hardest.
Right.
Yeah.
The next, probably the other one will be nuisance, garbage cleanup, nuisance stuff will be the next one. Subdivision, no one's going to build a new subdivision in the next few years, so you won't hear a word.
I mean, you guys are doing great, because when we did a revision to the sign code in Bend, we'd had a sign code for 1,000 years. Sign committee, we had a special sign committee, said we need to improve this code. The first public hearing, I had 3 death threats. You know, we're doing great. We're working with people, we're not getting them agitated. And, you know, you should really be patting yourselves on the back that you're making progress.
So a short answer to someone as far as like code enforcement or anything is to tell them that currently the Deschutes County, which we are contracted through, has one code enforcement officer in the entire county, and for them to direct their calls to Ben
No complaints. They could come here. We have a complaint form. I met with the people out at the flea market. I met with the whole family.
You're going to encourage them to come in here.
Well, no, we have to know because some we can deal with. You're just being generic. So they need to call here. We will take it. It could be garbage in the front yard.
And I
cleaned out tons of those.
Some of that I see as partly that will handle some of these. Like if we advertise that, then we look like we're handling our own issues. So if you want to, I would suggest advertising that so that the people can come in to the city hall and file a complaint within the city that they have a problem with and possibly get it handled, possibly not.
No, I mean, I think we're not going to advertise it, John, because we can't. In other words, you jump around on me. If it's somebody that has a complaint that's talking about it, I'm just saying, then come and tell us what it is, and then my response might be.
You don't advertise it.
Well, no, because we can't enforce any of these rules yet. But if someone has one and it's one I can work on, I do. So because we're doing it, we're in between, and the county will not force our codes.
Right, we've established that.
Right.
So I don't understand if I run across someone that has a complaint about wondering what's happening with code enforcement.
You tell them to call City Hall.
Where should I send them?
City Hall.
Right here.
Okay.
And then we will talk to them. And if someone said, hey, I got
it. No, we don't advertise it.
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
Because
I just don't understand that.
Well, do you need a reason? The reasoning is that we can't, in other words, one is someone has a complaint, one is going out and hunting them up. And so we want to respond to people that have an issue and talk to them. I may tell them, right now I can't stop the guy from having four horses next door. That's one I can't do anything about. But I would explain that to them. Mm-hmm. And I would explain to them when.
Right.
But I don't want to put an ad in the paper saying, come on down, we're going to enforce these codes. Because I can't do that.
But I mean, that's not what I said. I said if they have a complaint, where should they take it?
City
Hall. City
Hall.
Okay.
If someone comes to you, John, tell them to come to City Hall.
All right.
And you already have handled
it. I do it every day.
And really, you've done a very good job of choosing, and getting some of these things resolved without it getting to that point.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Once
it's actually
worked
well.
Yeah.
And that helped shape some of the things in our zoning ordinance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because we knew about these situations.
So well,
how
you've
how
had
are
cases where people
that?
Were out of town. You know, the owners were out of town and stuff, and you were able to get a hold of
how
them.
How are we doing on that flea market?
Well, the flea market is one that's more complicated. And without our laws in effect, we have to really just work with them. So where I am with them, and I understand what's going on there, because I met all the principals, and it's a family operation, first of all. Most of it is not, there is a little bit, if Glory wanted to go down and take a box full of stuff and sit there on Saturday, she can. That's not much of the business. They've divided that into three different areas. The dad has one area, the cousin has another area, and the stepmother or half-mother has another area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other mother or daughter, they run the head shop where they sell miscellaneous supplies.
Did you just say what I thought you said?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want to know what they're selling in that.
Oh, I've been in it. I know what you're
saying. I'm really surprised at ODOT.
So I went about the county thing on that. The thing with that was permitted as a car lot. They made them have the access come on down
mm-hmm.
there.
Right, down
the car lot and this probably have about the same traffic. The other argument you normally make is the parking lot is for customers. But in a car lot, it's not. It's filled with stuff you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually, instead of having a car parked there, they have merchandise parked there.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't get you too far. And now you could get technical on, they have a guard hut. The guy sleeps in, that's the other cousin or something.
Mm-hmm.
He sleeps in the trailer.
Guard hooks there now.
So that's a violation. But if they won't move it, we'd have to wait for our code. Where I got with them was, I said, if you had the white, first get this stuff under white tents, and then it's suddenly a market.
Mm-hmm.
I said, not a flea market, it's a market.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you put your white sides down over it, like you do in Sisters, I use that, you go through Sisters, they have a full-time market, farmer's market, call it what you want.
Down,
you put your signs down at night, in this case they're closed 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You put your signs down, sites down, then on Wednesdays or Thursdays, you roll them up, and suddenly it changes the look, and you'll actually increase your business,
mm-hmm.
increase the value of your business, and you can actually move away from melted Tupperware lids
mm-hmm.
to some level of art.
Yeah, never happened. I'm surprised that their insurance company. See, I had a tenant one time that had this type of junk all out in front of him, and my insurance agent called that attractive nuisance. And when he said that, I didn't understand what he meant, because none of it was attractive. But what it is it attracts people in, and then they trip on the thing laying there on the ground.
Yeah,
and they have an accident.
Tourists like that place.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That flea market can be described in one word. It's deplorable.
Well,
it's absolutely
one
deplorable.
Concern that we might have a
and
city.
And it's worse now than it was 3 months ago.
Well, that's the thing. One concern we might have as a city is that, the longer these things, I know human nature, and the longer these things are allowed, and what happens is the next guy two blocks down the road says, gosh, he's allowed to have that for a year.
Yeah.
I want to have the same thing. And so it just snowballs.
Yeah, I mean, that's one we'll have to have the codes and start working them on, the huts that are there. They built those huts, mm-hmm. which are under the requirement for building permit.
Temporary.
The size.
Oh, I see.
So the county already looked at that.
Yeah.
The county said they're like 5 feet underneath the size.
Under, 120 square feet? Or,
200
square feet, yeah.
So I look at it like if you move them into tents that start to clean it up
mm-hmm.
at this point, and then the signage, we talked about the signage, and have maybe one nice sign that is on something that's professionally done, they kind of like that. But they have no money.
Right.
So. That.
It happens.
Well, that is going to be a work in progress.
You get to know you pretty well.
It will long out.
Yeah, the whole thing is that we have no enforcement. We need to enforce the codes that we do have, because if that were to happen in downtown Bend, I'll guarantee that within a week it will be gone.
Less than that.
It'll be gone.
And
yeah. The
reason for that is because all the community is behind that enforcement officer. The whole community is behind there. And we need to tell, as a planning commission, we need to tell people like city manager Rick Allen here that, hey, we are behind the things that we want to see happen, and we're behind it. This whole community needs to get united here and get behind one another so that when Rick goes over there and says, in 1 week, this attractive nuisance has got to be gone.
You can't do that. Okay.
One of the things I think that has to happen, that the Liggy and them are going to work on branding, which will broaden, and they may pay for this study and then work with committees. Okay, then that's going to broaden what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because take the sign rough up we've had,
mm-hmm.
and when that flea market thing came up, Dan Barco said, this was a, it's not a quote, but close.
Mm-hmm.
He said at the meeting, it's on the tape somewhere, he said something to the effect, actually, people like that place, tourists do, and the only place I really get complaints about it is here, mm-hmm. was his statement.
Do you get complaints
and so,
at City Hall?
No, here, meaning councilmen.
I know, but do you have citizens?
No, none.
Mm.
So, I know it's an eyesore, but you got to be careful. The horses always pull the wagon. And I think what the city has to be careful. We don't get that backwards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the sign ordinance is an example. The group that came down the other day that shocked me was the chamber president, the former chamber president,
mm-hmm.
Rex. These were what I would call significant business people,
mm-hmm.
not fly-by-nighters, who generally are very progressive with everything. And they are the ones, not different ones said it, but they were saying things like, abandon your sign ordinance, freeze your sign ordinance, repeal your sign ordinance, and so on. And I think that what Lapine still has to get their arms around is we say we want all of this cleaning up and we want the signs to come down, but when you have to go sit and talk to Gordy about Gordy's signs, then everybody ducks and runs. And so when I actually, if I was to go out and play hardball with this flea market, you'd be surprised how many friends would come out of the woodwork. And then I got to look behind me and see, is the horses pulling this wagon or is the wagon got in front of the horses?
There you go.
And right now, I'm afraid we need to have a little bit of a 360.
Well, and, you know, I have to say something at this point. That was one of the concerns in 2000 as to why Lapine did not become a city, because they were afraid that it would be the businesses that would be making all the decisions. It wouldn't be the citizens that would be represented. It would be the businesses. So we have to be really careful of that, that we don't let the businesses run everything.
You're right.
And I know people that, you know, had to distance themselves because they were businesses and when they were running for city council and everything. So, you know, it's something we have to be careful of.
You know, in all honesty, the Pine, prior to incorporation, was run by the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Pure plan and simple.
Yep.
First, last, and only thing to be said about what happened here was the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
That's all changed.
Yeah.
They lost their thunder. They want some of it back. Mm-hmm. That's why they're objecting to the sign code. It's not the sign code that they're objecting to. It's not what's in the sign code. It's the fact that they didn't get to make the sign code. We did. That's why they're objecting to it, because they're losing their influence.
So what my point is...
It always has to be a 50-50% thing.
Yeah.
Hey, always.
If these guys do this branding, because I said that to you, because Rex was then down yesterday with the Chamber's economic meeting saying we're going to do this, and I used the sign ordinance as an example. What if the branding says we want to create this vision?
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that that's going to mean you're going to have to enforce this sign ordinance that basically you guys a week ago didn't want enforced.
Well, what do they want to accomplish with branding? Just more identity for them?
They think that, and I mean, there's truth to this, every city right now has cheap land. So Liggy used to say in the boom days, Liggy could argue that we got $2 land.
Right.
Where Bend was $6 and Redmond was $5 and Prineville was $4 and whatever. Well, now, there's land back there foreclosed on. You know, there's Liggy sold land. Those guys that have bought that land would give it back almost.
Mm-hmm.
You can get land for under $1 a foot in every city now. Mm-hmm. So price now went away.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, just what I did, and you did downtown, what's in those pictures? It's a river or a mountain. Do you know that there isn't a city in Oregon that doesn't have a picture on the cover of everything that doesn't have a river and a mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So when you're out trying to lure someone to your town, well, we all got a river and a mountain.
Right.
And so what they're thinking now is, well, we need to brand, you know, Redmond just did this hub thing, which I thought interesting, but that's...
It's been a hub for years.
But they just went the whole branding thing. Now it's on everything. It's on their water tank. They got it in the center of town.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about branding Lapine, and they were actually talking about doing it as a energy...
So
energy
would want to be an industrial town for Central Park.
No, well, they were green.
Because it's Liggy.
Well, that's what I asked. I said, now, if you guys are branding it just for, you want the town to brand, is this just for the industrial part?
Right.
Or are you going to try to brand the town as a whole, but if it's just the industrial part, the public might not like it, so you're going to have to expand your scope. And they said they understood that. And that they probably are going to do that with the chamber, and they are in the infancy stage of this. They do not know what they're doing. I mean, they're working at it, which is good, but when you're going to brand a town, you better make sure that everyone wants
it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that they intend, I got the impression they know that. But this is, again, in the early stages. And but then once they brand you, then you're going to have your ordinances match it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sisters is branded a western town, but every ordinance matches it.
Right.
If we're going to go to a green community with green energy, because he started using the little law, Deschutes Lodge, how it's got all
right.
the things.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you would put some of those requirements in your codes. Maybe your outside parking lights are all solar.
Mm.
You know, it's a requirement to build new in Lapine.
Okay.
But... That's a 7-month project.
But they have to have community buy-in. These are broad goals.
that's what I was kind of saying to them, and I think they know that.
Yeah. Too bad we didn't have that about 2 years ago.
So the city talked about that at the very beginning, about branding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you have a big green spot that's just dying for improvement, which is the Lapine Wayside, sitting there in the middle of everything that can attract people coming and going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you call the Lapine Wayside?
A big green splotch in the middle of the map.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all I've heard in Lapine for quite a few years now, we've always been all about recreation. If geographically, we have way more recreational areas than Bend and Redmond ever thought about. We have more rivers, we have more lakes, we have more everything for recreation. And so that's kind of the direction we've been moving toward, and then now I hear industrial green area. So those two are very conflicting right there in my mind. So
maybe it's just in its infancy.
It's very much in its
infancy.
Yeah, I like the recreational deal myself.
If you want to bring people here, you have to do what every other marketing plan has done. Is you have to make it great for families, great for retirees, and great for jobs. And those are the three-pronged efforts that people have to focus on.
Yeah. Well, when you look at Lapine, will be changing because there's quite a population that's over 60, 65 years old. I don't want to offend anybody here, but look at Lapine about 20 years from now, and there's going to be some new people here. Or, you know, we're going to be less some other people. So it's going to be changing.
I mean, he's done it again.
Look at, you know, I do the same thing in religious community. I tell them, I said, look at 20 years from now how the inside of the church is going to look. But anyway, that's a whole other deal.
Okay, where are we?
Now, so we're pretty much done with all that. Number 10, discussion on Deschutes County decision to approve conditional use permit. Discuss applications recently approved by the county and set out for city's review. This is the Little Deschutes Lodge Phase 2. Does everybody have a copy?
Yep. And this is one that wanted an extension, basically, on their
own. I don't know if
they're applying for some more money. They'd like to build another building.
Okay.
Yeah, if they can. Because they're full over there.
Yeah. They've already got a new building already full. Yeah. I mean, with the they've got enough people to fill it right now, and they ain't built it yet.
And they address something that the state gives great credence to, which is called needed housing.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's affordable housing at a certain level, it gets a whole bunch of support, and we should support it too.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like to make a comment that I fully support this venture right here. There's one caveat that I would like to add to that. There was a landscaping plan on phase one, and you know, just excuse me, but I'm a builder. Type 2, and so I know how that stuff works. That was the plan was never fully implemented. The phase one really isn't completely as beautiful as they told the city it was going to be. So what I would do is I would make a recommendation that somewhere along the line, either before, I mean, I wouldn't hold it out down the bill, but somewhere along the line, they need to actually, when they finish both of these, maybe, is to complete their landscaping plan and give the city...
What's missing, John, do you think?
Well, maybe a lot of it could be enforcement, because I don't know that in the original landscaping plan with all the bushes and the nice sprinkler systems and everything like that, I don't know that they're not out there just turned off and there's weeds, but... They really need to be told that the city is, you know, if we are fully behind their venture and really encourage this, but to, you know, to just build it as planned and to put in all and to finish the landscaping.
So I know they put the coal boxes and stuff out there. I don't know if those were originally, you know, into that, but that's you know, that's something that...
Are they not keeping good care of that place, Don? Or does it look
well,
like...
Well, I think if you go back to original, when that plan was first presented to the seniors at the senior center, he had a completely different setup that's been working for years over in Europe to take care of sewer. Mm-hmm. And the county wouldn't let them do it. Mm-hmm. And part of the aesthetics that you're talking about was planned for using this type of reusing all the effluent and everything mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And when the county wouldn't let them do it, they had to go out and spend a big bundle of money to put in this huge big septic tank to cover mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And then they put a small, if I remember right, I was told they've got a small system that he wanted to use that they wouldn't approve, and showing them that it will work. So I can't tell you anymore.
So maybe they don't have the water that they were going to have, so they don't have... Now, I do see that they collect rainwater off the drains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where does that go?
That they use that in their planters in front.
Okay. Yeah.
They've got, what, 8 or 10 planters, something like that.
Greenhouses, you know what they call them.
And they've got little greenhouse effect covers over them. Okay. And in fact, I was told today that one of the ladies raises lettuce, and she's got enough lettuce coming up in her little patch that she can feed the whole community. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
they're kind of cute things that look like little commons.
Yeah. What's this trail system and everything that I see here, and this row of feet? You know, if you were to take this out there and really look at this thing,
it isn't there.
No, this trail is not in here. This is not in there.
So you know, I was told that they've already got the authority, and they're planning on putting in the trail from the road that goes in to there, clear down to past the senior center.
Past in the Crescent Creek, right? See, I was really looking forward to this continuationist trail, because someday I'm working with the Park and Rec, we're trying to get a complete north to south trail system, and this would tie into that really beautifully. And my concern with these developers is that you the city always concentrates on approving this building being built, but they kind of overlook sometimes some of the beautiful landscaping, the road system plan, and all that, and they kind of, after a couple of years, you see that stuff just kind of goes away. Oh, the developer is saving thousands of dollars in money.
Yeah, but we wrote that into our code.
Here's
our
what
zoning.
I'm putting on the transmittal, which is due post haste.
Yeah.
Meet all conditions of previous approvals, including landscaping plan and trails. The suggested action that we want Deschutes County to do is create a condition of approval to meet all previous land use conditions of approval and site plan approval. That covers everything you've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As the Planning Commission, contact Rob Roy and ask him to come to the Planning Commission and present your concerns directly to him and see what plans he has to mitigate the situation.
That'd be fair. Because you could have that discussion.
Well, we have to get our response into the county on this, you know.
Phase one was okayed by the county and by the city council, for which I was a part of, landscaping of the area and a complete asphalt 6-foot wide walking trail between the center and Bi-Mart, so people could walk to Bi-Mart without walking on the street.
Yeah.
It has never been done.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, why? Now, if he's out of money, okay, fine, but that needs to be explained. I have absolutely no problem with okay in phase two. I think it's a great deal. But along the same lines, you've got to make everybody live up to their promises. That's only right.
The only role you have here is a commenter role. So we've commented. We've asked for them to send us the final report. If you feel it's insufficient, we would appeal it.
Okay.
And call it up.
All right.
Well, and then each of us individually, if we like, there's a portion right here that you can send directly to the county. So.
But we just did that because the Planning Commission has the voice. Yeah. You can do it individually on your own, mm-hmm. but this is for the Planning Commission to comment on.
Right.
you know, I still think that it wouldn't hurt. Rob Roy is really interested in being a part of this community.
Yeah.
I mean, he's interested in complying and really working with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And if he were brought to the Planning Commission and you said, look, here's our concerns about what happened with Phase 1. How could we be assured that this isn't going to continue in Phase 2 and that you will do everything without forcing it through the county?
Well,
by just asking him and then...
You could do that. You could ask him to come in. But the if you didn't make a comment now, you would lose your legal opportunity to review it in a place and a venue that makes him comply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice if we could just talk to him and say, hey, you didn't do this stuff, and he'd say, fine, I'll do it. But this is the only way to make sure it happens legally.
Hey, Deborah, normally you don't get an occupancy, in other words, because people, you come in, the site plan has all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Oh, the counties let you down if they didn't check
out. Right, because technically what the city would do, you'd go out before they get an occupancy, and you know, they may be short one plant, you're not going to not give it to them. But if they have a bike trail system in and these other things, or a walking trail, and that's part of their approved site plan.
The planner's supposed to come down with
that. You would check all of that.
But the problem was, wasn't it the timing because of the winter?
Well, I mean, you could say, well, I'm going to give you an occupancy for so many days, or I'm going to, and they agree, I'm going to finish this by July 1st or whatever. But my guess is none of that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that was right, but that was, you know, two years ago.
That was,
so.
That needs to be followed up on.
So that's
this may be a while, because he has to get financing.
Mm-hmm.
From some sort of, it's a tax credit deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he may take him a year to get his financing, and this may be a couple years out.
Well, we could still address the other.
Yeah, we just need to set particular standards, because if we're going to let, you know, Rob Roy do what he wants, then we have to let every, you know, we have to have certain standards in this Planning Commission, and we need to just adhere to them, so it's fair for everybody.
But I think it would be good to invite him to come in and talk to us.
Well, this particular comment needs to be done 2 days from now.
Well, no, you do that. You can have him come in because it's just a voluntary deal to come in. Talk.
Yeah.
Let him explain what he's doing.
Right.
And then you can kind of raise some questions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I might just call him or whatever. And see
yeah.
You might have put him on the agenda?
For September.
We could still file everything, just like Deborah said, so that you've got the hammer.
Yeah.
But then, in a friendly way, come in and say, hey, look, we've got this filed.
Right.
And we would like you to give us
90% of it will be that this Planning Commission is just aware of things going on. And that's going to be take care of a lot of it.
Okay.
Okay, so.
The other one was the.
You know, did everybody see the two approvals over here for Stern's Land Company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was adding a lot.
Does anybody have any problem with that?
No. I'm assuming it's right over here.
Right behind us.
Right in back of the,
right behind us.
Yeah. And there, I mean, I know a lot of that's really low. So it's on the hill right next to the street. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm.
Looks like that.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah. We tried to build there once before, and the county said no because it was a riparian flood zone or something or other. So they, and that was over on this side.
It looks like they're moving up toward
the
road.
They moved toward the east.
Yeah, they're going higher ground. Road, we're higher ground, and all that.
No big deal.
So it looks awesome.
That's all Grody's property anyway.
In fact,
it is.
Well, you guys are making history.
That
isn't
gorgeous.
Stern's family's history in Central Oregon is huge.
Huge. Yeah, one of the first major landowners in Lapine.
They used to drive cattle from Pineville to Lapine every spring.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so that's, we discussed
that. Did the city hall building right come on there?
Did we miss any, is there any votes? We just need to discuss. So these are approved by the county. Submitted a comment to Cynthia on this one that was very favorable, so I just did that personally. Okay, and so we are to the Planning Commission reports. What did everybody do for last month?
Nothing.
haven't been involved with planning commissions.
That's a fine thing.
But Gloria had a special item that she wanted to talk about.
Yes, and under other matters, if we don't have any other commission reports, I just got back from 18 states, 6,700 miles on a Harley, where I traversed through approximately 308 either towns or cities.
Aren't you just dying to stand up?
I can't.
And it did, it did take us about 2 hours to get through Houston. I took a wrong turn in New Orleans that was a bad mistake. It took us about 3 or 4 hours to get out of New Orleans.
Yeah, but now you know about FEMA.
I ran across an individual that said that in Joplin, we stayed for 2 days in Joplin where there was a number 5 tornado went through there. I should bring pictures in when I say. Talked to one of the superintendents on one of the 6 contractors that is working on disaster recovery. He is a superintendent. He has 200. He himself has 210 of these self-loaders to grab this garbage like this and load themselves up, and they take it out somewhere to the dump. That company, his company, has 210 self-loaders working in that area. He is one of 6 contractors working in Joplin. They have 210 units. He said that they were down at, they went down to Katrina in New Orleans. He said they have crews in New Orleans. 6 years later, they are still working in New Orleans.
Wow.
He said those disasters are, those major disasters like that are 10 to 15 year time frames.
Wow.
So they're just halfway through in New Orleans. In Joplin, they'll be there. It is incredible. But anyway, the rest of the country is faring pretty good. I saw a lot of bad development and saw some really good development.
Did you get up to Pittsburgh at all?
Nope. Farthest east we went was Chattanooga, Tennessee. At Chattanooga, we went up through Nashville and then turned basically the west, come back through the west.
Nashville's a big city.
Nashville, it was beautiful. A lot of construction going on. A lot of construction, transportation construction going on everywhere in this country. More so than I've seen many years before. A lot of transportation construction. A lot of that's that Reinvestment Recovery Act money. So it was amazing to see. It was quite educational to see how towns look that are planned a little bit better than other towns. Some real clean towns and some real shabby towns. So, saw a lot of country. That was neat. So, any other comments? So, under 12 other matters, Gloria?
Well, I'm announcing that my last meeting will be the meeting in September.
Oh, Gloria.
Yeah. My husband and I are getting out of town. We're going to go on a trip. We'll probably be gone for 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. And we are going back east.
Nice.
And back to New York. And I just don't think it would be fair to be gone that long. And, you know, not to have you have an opportunity to find somebody to replace me.
But you will be back at some point.
Yes, but you know, Jim and I have been involved for 6 years now, and very involved, and more and more involved. Mm-hmm. He's also resigning his posts and things, and we need to regroup. We need to take a sabbatical and regroup. And we will be involved, we just don't know what we're going to do when we come back.
Well, you've been part of a huge amount of work.
Oh, yeah.
We should be thrilled.
Very strong.
Yeah. And, so I wanted to give you a little bit of notice. I was going to turn my letter next month.
It's very sad, but I'm glad you're doing something.
Yeah, fun that too. Will be fun. You will be missed, but that's a neat stage you're going to.
Yep. So anyway, that's what I needed to let you know. And my term actually was up in December anyway. And, I have
So it would be two terms up in September?
Yeah, December. Yeah, Linda's is up in December, too.
So I better get another, better get the
ads
going.
So we need the ads going.
And maybe I should check with Bill Sauders and see if he's still interested.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. He
interviewed with you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Bill Sauders was, you know, I liked his write.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
It's a good candidate.
Very good. So.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, I appreciate, you know, the notice. Yeah. I mean, that can be handled. That could be handled a lot more. Less positive. So thank you for that. So we'll step up the advertisement, Patty, and we will also, all of us in this room, put the word out. If that is the best communication in the time still, word of mouth. It's worked for many years. So, any other with the public? We have Kitty here, and
Kitty's
we have
first.
Kitty is a member of the public. Please have a comment for us.
Well, I was thinking. I think it's a good idea to talk with Rob Roy, or allow him to talk with you. There may be something actually that's tying his hands, and he just hasn't, you know, brought it forth.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah, we might. I will call him unless someone else wants to. Patty,
it would be appropriate for you to invite him.
Yeah, I think what I'll do. And so, and the other thing, too, I was going to discuss about possibly not meeting, especially if there's very little activity, only meeting like every other month. What does anybody have any comments on that?
Well, I think if next month might be a good time for Rob Roy to come and make a presentation if we're not doing something else.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a major agenda item right there.
And there seems like there's things that come up during the month. I kind of hate to limit us to once every other month unless you're willing to call a meeting if, you know, if we need to, because things do come up.
If we do every other month when times are slow, we might leave it open to calling a meeting within a week's notice or whatever, because we have established that we do meet once a month. It's been consistent and it has worked very well. So but you're right about if we do get Mr. Roy in here, that we might have that as a major agenda item, and then more than likely there will be others as the month progresses.
Yeah, if you don't have anything, there's nothing to meet about.
So then the next meeting would be then August what? I can't see that.
No, I can't see it either.
This is why we need the computer.
August 17th.
7th, third Wednesday. August 17th, 6 p.m. would be the next meeting. 17th,
wasn't it? Right. I'm just itching to make a stronger point of something I mentioned earlier.
Okay, go for it.
And you know, I've been around the block a few times. I do dye my hair, so I am old. But I want you to give credence to what I say, and old people are often looked on as venerable. So here we go. We have a new budget cycle, a new fiscal year, and I think the Planning Commission owes it to the public to establish its goals and what it's going to work on for the next year.
Oh, yeah. See, that's another thing.
And usually what staff does is give you a listing of the council goals, because you shouldn't be out of sync with that.
Right.
And you do have some projects ahead of you, which hasn't been formally announced yet, but you will get some funding to complete your TSP. It's very important.
Yeah, I saw that.
And we want to do some site plan refinements to the wayside. And we need to be better prepared when grant funds are around, that we already have a site plan ready to go. We just need money.
Mm-hmm.
So I see some things that I'd like to suggest to you as goals. and get that either on your next, I think it should go on your next council or your next planning commission meeting. Yeah. And you just need to run yourself like a business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite complicated. So why don't we just leave a couple of agenda items like that maybe for August and not so much more.
And if you might, I'll submit something for you to review and pick apart. Sound.
Well, just a preliminary.
Sure. Yeah.
Because that's major. That was what, 40 acres or 100, what was that, 160?
Oh, on that particular thing.
That's what you've talked about, our goals and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it'll be one item.
Oh.
If you choose to do that.
I thought you were talking about the wayside.
Yeah, yeah. As a goal that you should continue to press on during
but
this
not,
year.
Not really look at plot plans and such yet.
I think you should.
Layouts.
I think you should have the site plan done. And I'm willing to.
Because, you know, in the site
plan,
you have roads and all that.
Yes.
That's a GSP and such.
Yeah. See, your goals. What are you going to do for the next year? What is it you're going to try to accomplish? I think the community will ask you as a planning commission, what's your role? What are you doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to have that sheet ready.
Yeah. Well, if that, you know, the TSP is certainly in the council crosshairs. So if everything, if that area is something that we need to do, then mm-hmm. let's make it a priority and do mm-hmm. it.
We just want to do some CYA and make sure we all know what direction yeah. we're aligned in.
Well, and we need to write that up, right?
Yes.
Present it to the city council.
That's an awesome area for that recreational type use that we talked about.
Yeah, but setting your goals is an important part of being a commissioner and being responsible to the community.
Now, Libby might have that entire area covered with solar panels. But I would like to see it as part of that, about 10 acres of that is it like a zone for like a KOA camping.
Absolutely.
Area.
We want people to stay here. Yes.
We stayed in about 30 KOAs throughout the country. All of them are about 10 to 20 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other KOA in Central Oregon is almost to Madras. And there is not one along this 97 corridor. Pine needs something like that.
Well, Thousand Trails is, we have the RPI.
Yeah.
If you're going to brand La Pine, do the things that are fabulous about La Pine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not hard.
That's what
they're let's clear up the haystack metal.
Come up with the brand.
Thank you,
Shitty. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just hope it's not something wacky.
Well, Mr. Counselor, would it be possible in the mayor's twice a month little thing that he writes up in the Eagle to put something in about what the planning commission is doing?
I don't see why.
Could you make that recommendation on my behalf to the mayor? Of course, if I ever catch up to him, I'll ask you myself. But I haven't been able to find him for about a month.
If you want to find him, you come to the next senior executive board meeting, because he's going to be there to present something, and
I can't go there.
No idea what it is.
I can't go there. They won't let me in the door. I'm not a member of the
executive.
I just wanted to bring up for the city's newsletter that, you know, I bet if somebody wrote an article, it could get in there. It'd be really appreciated.
I wrote the last one, so someone needs to write the next one.
Well, and I'm thinking of maybe. Saying a farewell article for the Newberry Eagle about what it's meant to be a planning commission.
Wonderful.
There you go. There you go.
Thanks. That would
be a good one. Mm-hmm. Patty, there's your article.
Well, I'm talking about it in the Newberry Eagle probably for September.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Well, do a little condensed version of it for the city of Newberry. Maybe not everybody reads the Newberry Eagle.
That's true.
That way you get double up on. All right. If nothing else, have we covered everything?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. What do you say we adjourn?
Okay. I move we adjourn.
Second, third, and fourth.
Hey, John, I just like your phone number in case Randy comes up with something. Well,